This podcast is brought to you by SelfWealth, Australia's only fixed-fee brokerage solution. Pay just $9.50 per trade regardless of size and save up to 70% on brokerage fees. Visit selfwealth.com.au and click online trading.
And now on Nights with Steve Price, it's time for Health Matters. Thanks to Sydney Adventist Hospital. Healthcare, education, research, yours for life.
Yes, and tonight's topic will be very much of interest to my friend and colleague Ross Greenwood from Money News. He goes under the knife on Thursday to repair his knees, having an arthroscope, and he's going to be out of action for about 4 or 5 weeks. Orthopaedic surgeon at the SAN, Dr. John Limbers, who we've spoken to on the program before, is with us. Dr. Limbers, evening. Good to talk to you again.
Good. Thanks for having me, Steve. It's great to be here.
He's having an arthroscope. What's that actually mean?
An arthroscope is keyhole surgery. The most common reason for that is a torn meniscus cartilage, a torn knee cartilage, which will cause clicking and locking and catching. So that's not really... arthroscopy has very little role to play in arthroscopy, but when you have a knee with very little... arthroscopy has very little role to play in arthritis, osteoarthritis. When you have a knee with very little arthritis, then... But symptoms from a torn cartilage then and arthroscopy can be very good.
He's in his mid-50s, still playing grade cricket as a fast bowler, and he's an obsessive golfer. You must be seeing, I imagine, at the SAN, Dr. Limbers, an increasing number of baby boomers and a bit younger who are still denying that they're getting older and they're still playing active sport, and it's taking a toll on their knees and hips.
That's right. The incidence of osteoarthritis of the hip and knee increases as you get older, and that can often be due to previous injuries and wear and tear, particularly in the knee, but also in the hip. And also there's often an age-related basis for it, which often has a genetic basis with osteoarthritis of the hip and knee running in families. So when you do a hip and knee replacement, on a patient, they often have a relative who's had a hip or knee replacement.
I got my fingers crossed. I haven't been to see you yet, and I've got my knees and hips all in good one in one place. You're using the Mako robotic arm technology. We spoke to you when you'd first done that. You were the first surgeon in New South Wales to use it for a total knee replacement. How is the Mako working out? The more you've done, do you get better at it the more you do them?
Yeah, like anything you do, there's a learning curve. I was the first to do it after its official release. Other surgeons have done it in New South Wales as part of the pre-release trials, but the first one in New South Wales after its official release was done last September by me at the SAN. And for me, it's become routine. All my hip and knee replacements, at least in the private hospitals, are done using robotic technology. And as you said, you know, there's plenty at first, but you get better with time, and now it doesn't take me any longer to do it robotically than non-robotically, but you have the advantage of incredibly accurate technology and less soft tissue stripping from the bone when you do it, because it's a less invasive technique. And there are studies that show in labs that you can do a knee replacement with less soft tissue damage using robotic technology as opposed to the traditional jigs and computer navigated.
Well, you've got the three-dimensional advantage, haven't you?
It's great. Yeah, you do. You book someone in for a total knee replacement, then you take a CAT scan of their knee, and then there's a virtual knee replacement done on their CAT scan. So you're looking at their knee replacement on their CAT scan while they're still at home, and then you change that plan. You make it perfect. You change this. You change that. This angle. That angle. And you perfect the plan. And then you take them to the operating theatre and you expose their knee joint in a sterile technique and scrubbed up and the same as any other technique of knee replacement. And you put some marking pins in their femur, their thigh bone and their shin bone. And you mark a whole lot of points on their knee. And then that makes that virtual knee replacement live, so that when you move their knee replacement on their CAT scan plan moves. And then you change the plan further to make it perfectly balanced. So there's a lot of fine tuning involved. And then that's when you bring in the robotic arm. You press the trigger and the arm does the cuts exactly as it's planned. So it is amazing technology. Now, 10 years ago, I never envisaged that I'd be doing hip and knee replacements in this in this fashion. It's fantastic.
Incredible to say you pull the trigger and the robotic arm does the incisions.
Well, it doesn't do the incision. We still have to do the incision and exposure, but it does the main work, the bony cut.
Yep.
The bony cuts for the prosthesis. And if you try to override it and ignore it, it won't let you cut out. So if I try to change the plan, the only way I can change the plan is to change it on the CAT scan.
The more you've done, and you must have measured then the success rate of knee and hip work, and whether the patients recover and get back to full use of both of those joints, does the Mako mean that the recovery and the success rate's greater?
This is what we hope. This anecdotally, I believe that is the case. Anecdotally, both myself and other surgeons that use this technique are noticing that patients do get better quicker. But I have to say that's not proof. That's just anecdotal evidence with all the traditional biases that entails. Long-term studies will need to be done that to prove that they have less pain, to prove that they have a quicker recovery, and to prove better long-term results. And those studies are certainly underway. But as with most of these things, it does take years to prove those things. But I personally am in no doubt that it will be shown to be better because it is just so much more accurate. It is incredibly accurate. No matter how good I am as a surgeon, I cannot be as accurate as that technology. I just can't be.
Talking to John Limbers from the... Sorry, John, go on.
I was just saying, people in other professions know this. I've had an engineer come and see me specifically because he knew I did robotic technology. And he said, listen, we've been using this technology for years in manufacturing. So why wouldn't we use it in medicine? You know, and there's no area of manufacturing or technology where robotics has come in that has stopped being used. You know, it continues to be used.
Yes, extraordinary technology. We're talking to John Limbers from the SAN. What's the bigger operation and the longer recovery, a hip or a knee?
A knee. But they're similar sort of size of operation, if you like. But hip replacements get better quicker and they're less painful. And that is probably because the hip is a deeper joint with a much bigger muscular envelope, if you like, soft tissue envelope around it. Whereas if you look at your leg, your knee's just under the skin, really. There's not a lot protecting it from the skin. That's probably part of the reason. But traditionally, hip replacements... The post-op course is easier in a hip replacement than a knee replacement. It's sort of, you'd think it would be different, but that's the way it is. Certainly, that's improved even further when you use the anterior approach. That has been shown in studies to cause less pain in the first 6 weeks. Certainly, that's the way I do it. I do robotic hip through an anterior approach, and that is less painful.
Here's a dumb question from a non-medical person. Looking at my knee as I'm speaking to you, what happens when you do a knee replacement to my kneecap?
You go on the inner side of the knee, so just on the inside of your kneecap. You essentially push your kneecap to the side, mm-hmm. And some surgeons resurface the kneecap, and some surgeons don't, or do it sometimes. I personally myself resurface the kneecap every time. So if I do a knee replacement on you, I'd push your kneecap to the side to get to your main knee, but I would also resurface your kneecap.
How long am I going to be off that leg?
You're up and walking the next day, full weight bearing, with assistance, of course. I get you up, in my practice, I get you up twice the next day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, most people off work for 6 weeks. You get over most of them the first 6 weeks. Full recovery, 3 to 6 months. A lot of people probably keep improving for a year or more, but certainly over most in the first 6 weeks.
Can I still play golf?
You can, but you wouldn't really be able to in the first 6 weeks. You could, after a hip replacement, particularly an anterior hip replacement, you could probably start getting back to some golf shots in less than 6 weeks, potentially. Knee replacement longer. I'd say start gradually at 6 weeks would be average. I mean, people vary. I was once in the surf, and a guy said, he paddled, he caught a wave. He said, I had a hip replacement 6 weeks ago. And then he looked at me and he said, you did it. I didn't remember. It was a bit embarrassing.
How funny is that?
You tend to get over hip replacement quicker. I've seen people surfing 6 weeks after hip replacement, a little bit slower after their replacement.
Extraordinary stuff. Orthopaedic surgeon at the SAN, Dr. John Limbers. Always a pleasure to catch up. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.